You know who sounds good? Todd Derry. The Derry Brothers Guardians cast, one half of it, at TD Derry KU. Hello, Todd!
At TD Guardians KU, but I still love you, Kenny.
Judas Priest, I messed it up. I messed
Todd, are you annoyed that we get your crying, emotional brother after the big wins and after the losses, we bring you on to face the music?
No, I'll come on win or loss. It doesn't even matter. It's all good by me. But thank you, Anthony. I appreciate it.
Todd is on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Todd, this has got to be, like, some people are going to disagree. This has got to be one of the most frustrating things I've ever seen in my life last night, where you leave 11 in scoring position. You had the bases loaded a couple of times. David Fry, the pop out. Like, even to the point where, like, you had Wells behind the plate blocking balls that Bo Naylor just decided he didn't want to go after in game one. I'm like, even that started to get to me last night. I'm going, Judas Priest, like, they're giving you opportunities. Garrett Cole was not great, and you couldn't come through.
I heard Anthony earlier say this, and it's true. They're not that good. The Yankees are not that good. This isn't a – there's holes in that lineup. That bullpen is not good. Garrett Cole, who's dominated us for years, he couldn't get out of the fifth last night. The Guardians, had a million chances to take control of that game. The Yankees were handing it to us, and they just couldn't take advantage. I know Jose Ramirez hit a solo homer in the ninth inning to make from 6-2 to 6-3. As my dad used to say, that was the old Brooke Jacoby. You know, down 10-2 in the eighth, he hits a solo homer. It doesn't really matter. I need the Jose Ramirez who comes up with the bases loaded and puts one in the gap. That's what I need. This one frustrated me way more than game one because it was there for the taking. And there were several more decisions that were questionable by the manager. It's going to be really hard to win 4 out of 5, boys.
Other than that, how was the play, Mrs. Lincoln?
Well, that's the thing. I got to say, watching their lineup, and I know that, you know, when guys like Stanton, who's, you know, traditionally been better in the playoffs, but, you know, you look at some of the numbers from the regular season, they're getting nothing out of the cleanup spot right now, and their catcher has been terrible. Like, it feels like this team is a shell of, like, the Yankee great teams that we have had great postseason battles with, and yet we're sitting here because we are, you know, kicking the ball around. We can't do any of the fundamental stuff that was a calling card for this team throughout the season. And we haven't even had the chance to be as aggressive on the bases, which is something we saw in the regular season. So that's why I'm trying to say when we're talking 4 out of 5, it's what you have to do the rest of the way. Can some of that stuff materialize when we get back in Cleveland?
Yes. Best home record in the American League. They're more comfortable playing there. I don't know what it is about either old Yankee Stadium or new Yankee Stadium, but it's almost as if they—it's almost as if they see those pinstripes and they hear that crowd and they just wet themselves. It's the mystique of October baseball in New York is a real thing, and our young guys and some of our veterans as well just have not performed. Listen, there's no bigger Tanner Bibee fan than me. But he gave up, and I know that Rocchio dropped the ball. He gave up 5 hits and couldn't get out of the second. I had no problem with Cade Smith coming in there. I understood that move. I really did. You have to win that game, and you had to stop the bleeding there. And who would you rather have face Aaron Judge in that spot? That's the other thing. Other than that 2-run homer in the eighth inning, Aaron Judge has been terrible all October. So it's... You know, my brother said this on the pod yesterday. It's the old NBA adage. The series doesn't really start until someone wins on the road. If you can somehow manage to get the series back to you know, you got to play it one game at a time, obviously. But if you can get it back to 2-2, you know, that's a whole different ball game. And playing at home for the Guardians, where they're more comfortable, the crowds have been great. I've been at all the home playoff games so far. Crowds have been great, and I expect the crowds to be great again this weekend.
Well, I told Lima that's one of the problems with Major League Baseball, not the game, but Major League Baseball, is that people treat Yankee Stadium, unless you play in the division, but I even think to some degree it is, like it feels like an audition for some of these guys. And people get nervous for the audition, and they go to I'm like, you don't get that. Like, if you go to AT&T Stadium in Dallas, they're not standing around going, I can't believe I'm standing here in AT&T Stadium. No, you just play the Cowboys. That's what you do. Like, and there's no Boston Garden anymore. Like, maybe there's a little bit with MSG, maybe, but I'm not sure if that even clicks anymore. Like, damn it, but they go to Yankee Stadium, and because they know it's, once you're a Yankee, you're never going to have to, your children and your children's children will never want for anything in life ever again. And it feels like some of these guys, they're in audition mode. And they get nervous for the audition, and they go out there, and they suck up the room. And I don't think that's just a Guardians thing. I think that's a thing with a lot of teams, and that's one of the problems that you have. But I can't sit here and lament about the problems of Major League Baseball right now. I got to try to win a baseball game here coming up in Game 3 here. Going back to the Bibee decision, do you think that this would have long-term effects between Bibee and Vogt, or is this something where it's like, hey, man, you weren't doing that good. They had to pull you. We got to get you ready, hopefully, for a Game 5 or even maybe a Game 4. Like, it's time to clear it and go.
Tanner's a professional. He's a gamer. I don't think this would affect him in any way. He will come out. Yes, does he want to pitch deeper in games? Absolutely he does. I am sure that he understood. In the moment, he was probably like, man, my defense failed me. I don't deserve this. And he was pissed because he's a gamer out there. He wants that ball. But in the end, he's a team guy. It was the right decision at the time, and I don't think it'll have any effect on him, though.
All right, Todd Derry joining us right now. Runners in scoring position, obviously the one that we're all going to remember, a couple actually, Rocchio, which I thought was a great at-bat, and I thought he was going to come through. And then also, you know, David Fry popping that up very first pitch when it looked like we were about to take the wind out of the sails of that entire Yankees establishment. What did you think of those moments, and what can they do to come through?
Well, the David Fry at bat, I will say in the moment, I thought to myself, yes, this is the spot for my guy, Big Game Dave. He hit that three-run homer off of Brisky in Game 4, right on right. They didn't go to him in a pitching in a pinch-hitting situation, in another game in a similar situation. The problem where that came up was David Fry can't catch anymore, and Ken alluded to this earlier in the show. The fact that he can't catch has completely changed the dynamic of the roster, and that's because you really like have to look up and say, maybe I have to have Bo Naylor, as horrible as Bo Naylor has been, and he's been horrible, has not had a hit this postseason. I got to let him hit here, because if I don't let him hit, then you're looking at 2 to 3 Austin Hedges high leverage at bats, high leverage Hedges, and that's a problem. And it came up, Hedges later in the game came up with the bases loaded. They purposely pitched around Andres to get to him, and obviously that didn't work. David Fry just swung at the first pitch, which I could not understand. I don't understand when a guy can't find the zone, and I know what they'll say. You know what they'll say is, well, you know, he couldn't find the zone, so you're looking for a get me over fastball. But that first pitch pop out was just brutal, just brutal. And the Rocchio at bat was a great at bat, and it was a borderline strike pitch. The home plate umpire again was all over the place. So it's just the difference between these two teams right now is they are coming through when they need to, and the Guardians are not. And it's kind of a microcosm of what we've seen for this offense all season. I think it's under a microscope right now, but this team usually lays back and has been in waiting to hit 3-run homers or whatever to get on the board. It's been like that most of the season, and the irony of it is the team last year couldn't hit homers to save their lives, and now it's seemingly the only way they're scoring. I mean, it's wonderful when they got it back to 3-2, but they had the bases loaded and no one out and scored the 2 runs on a sac fly and a ground out. Heaven forbid Will Brennan would put one in the gap.
I know it seemed like garbage time, maybe, that Jose breaks out of it. Do you think that matters going forward? And what do you think of his issues right now at the plate?
He's clearly pressing. He's clearly frustrated. And I feel for him because he's got to feel like the weight of the world is on his shoulders and he has to deliver each time. It's hard to tell because he is so even-keeled all the time. You don't see any sort of either way, good or bad, he is the same guy. Hopefully that home run gets him, going a little bit. He did have a couple of loud outs. He hit a couple barrels just right at people so far. It's just, again, I said it on our pod. I said it on this show. My brother said it. on this show as well. If Jose Ramirez doesn't show up in this series, we have the Guardians have no chance. No chance. Your superstar has to be a superstar, and he hasn't been. And it's pretty simple.
Do you believe that Todd Derry joining us here on the show, Derry Brothers Guardians cast, you get it here on the free Odyssey app. Do you believe that Steven Vogt has been overmatched in both of these series?
I don't think Aaron Boone is doing anything to, you know, make him look bad. In the first series, games 2 and 3, A.J. Hinch managed circles around him, and I do think that Vogt has done some panicky things at times, and I think that he is overmanaging. But it's his first time here. I mean, he's going to learn. Nobody's perfect. I want to give him the benefit of the doubt because he got this team that nobody thought would get to the playoffs, let alone the ALCS. I mean, they're here. They're on serve. You win the next two games, we feel a lot better. We're, you know, and it becomes a three-game series. So, for the most part, I haven't loved the way he's managed, no. But he's got time to right the ship and do a better job. But I think he gets a little – he's getting a little panicky with some of his moves, and then he's doing things one way and then going against what he's been doing. Like, you know, you could have sent up, for example, John Kenzie Noel, who has more power, in that bases loaded, you know, in one of the bases loaded spots. You know what I'm saying? Like there's just moves that he's making that he would have made earlier in the year that he's not making now. So I just think that this is his first time and he's a little panicky there, but he's still a great leader of men. He's still got the Guardians to where they are, and I do believe in him. I'll tell you what, a lot of people bash the way Tito managed in the playoffs the last few times around since 2016. As I said to you guys before, and I'll say it again, if these moves work, he's a genius. If they don't, he's an idiot.
All right, set us up for the rest of the series quickly. It's Boyd, right, going tomorrow back in Cleveland, and then what it looks like for Game 4 and hopefully Game 5.
I mean, here, you got Matt Boyd against Clark Schmidt. Clark Schmidt is not great, okay? Luis Gil against whoever goes in Game 4, whether it's Bybee coming back on short rest because he only threw the 39 pitches, or they decide to go to Gavin Williams. I do think there is, number one, you're at home. Number two, you have the advantage in pitching. The bullpen is better. You do have better starting options than the Yankees do here. So I do think that you just got to go game by game. I'm not saying the series is over. I'm not. It is going to be very hard to win 4 out of 5, but getting back into Progressive Field, getting these guys at ease. And then the other thing is I do some tweaks to line up. I do love that Rocchio comes up right before Kwan. I think maybe you go Rocchio in the 2-hole. Wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. You're really, you know, between the Fry and Manzardo spot, move that down to 7 and maybe, you know, lengthen the order a little bit. The problem still remains. You've got to get something from the catching position in right field that are two gigantic black holes and automatic outs.
Todd, we thank you very much for the time. Follow him on Twitter at TDGuardiansKU. That's the real one. Todd, we'll talk to you hopefully after a win here soon.
Thanks, boys. Appreciate it.